Well, there isn't a day that goes by where I'm sure many British Columbians brace for a punishing tariff announcement from Donald Trump. But according to a new report from the Independent Contractors and Businesses Association, the real economic threat may be coming from right here at home. The ICBA says the BC government's Clean BC plan will strip more than $109 billion from our provincial economy by 2029, more than double the estimated damage of Trump's tariffs. The report warns that while the goal of cutting emissions is important, the current approach is undermining growth, investment, and competitiveness across core industries like construction, forestry, and mining. Joining me now to talk about this issue is Chris Gardner, president of the Independent Contractors and Businesses Association of BC. Chris, good to see you again.
Good afternoon, Jazz. Thanks for having me on the show.
Let's start with the main headline stat. Your report says Clean BC will cost BC's economy $109.7 billion by 2029. Walk us through how you arrived at that figure.
So what we did was we have a chief economist, Jock Finlayson, well known in British Columbia. We had him lead this project, and he worked very closely with a consulting economist, Ken Peacock, who's also a very well known BC economist. And together, Ken and Jock did an analysis of the government's own modeling. So this is the modeling that the Ministry of Finance does when they look out at economic growth and the impact of government policies. So what the Ministry of Finance numbers show is that this series of policies, 25 different policies, regulations, standards that are wrapped under Clean BC, and it sounds very nice, but as you indicate, Jazz, the devil's in the details. And so this series of policies has already taken out $30 billion from our economy from 2019 to 2024. And the pain is only going to get worse because these policies become more aggressive over time. And so it will be 2.5 times the impact of Trump's tariffs on our economy. Trump's tariffs are going to, if everything goes through and Canada responds with the way that the government seems to be indicating, that's a $43 billion hit to BC's economy. This will be a $110 billion hit to our economy. It's punishing for families, for businesses, in an era where our economy is struggling and we're all facing affordability challenges.
So when you say Clean BC, that is the plan that through a variety of policies throughout government, the goal is to go green, make that transition away from fossil fuel economy to a greener economy. And that can be different types of regulations in different ministries. But the cumulative effect, what you're saying, is going to slow down our economy just because of new regulations, new rules, whatever it may be. It is going to take dollars or investment out of our economy. Can you talk a little bit about where, what specific sectors that would hit and sort of give me specifics on how that would be done?
Sure. Yeah. So let's just go back to the stated goal of Clean BC. It was rolled out in December of 2018. And the goal was to reduce British Columbia's GHG emissions to 40% below the 2007 year level. So 40% below 2000. Think about that. Why didn't they just pick the year that that refers to? Because the emissions are going to be the emissions that were generated in the 1980s. So they're going to take our economy and drive it back to the GHG emission output of BC's economy in the 1980s. The reason why they can't pick the year is because we didn't calculate GHG emissions before the first time we started doing that was in 1990. So I actually don't know the number. They just picked the number. But effectively, what we're doing is driving our economy back to the 1980s. So where is this going to show up? Mm-hmm. Well, it shows up in fuel emission standards. It shows up in making sure that buildings are net zero by 2030, that there's zero emissions coming out of buildings, whether that's homes or commercial buildings. It's electric vehicle sales, and we've seen where that
EV mandates, right. Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday on the program.
All of these things, well-intentioned, poorly designed, failing, and as a result, there's no chance whatsoever of this province meeting these cherry-picked emissions targets. So the government now is reviewing it. They've now said, okay, well, we've got to go review where we're going and what we can do to meet some of these targets. And what they're going to find is they have no chance of meeting the targets, and they're going to have to revise all of this. But the challenge, Jazz, is that when they're undertaking this review, it's two environmental climate activists who were involved in the creation of Clean BC. There's no one from industry, no one from finance, no one from, and there's no economists, there's no one from industry, there's no one from business. So we've got people reviewing this who don't understand how the economy works. So in our view, the review should be, they should throw the review out and start over again and actually bring people around the table who understand industry, business, finance, how the economy really works. This is punishing. It's costing us a lot. It's unaffordable. And the government's got to take a very different approach.
Now, the EV mandates, we're not going to hit the targets. I think we all agree that 90% of all EV new cars sold in British Columbia have to be EVs by 2030. 90%. I think we're at about 18% here in BC, 6% nationally. I think you raise a very good point there. But when they say, we want zero emission buildings, what they are saying is regulations, which means if you're putting up a building or own a building, you are then going to have to spend money to retrofit, or if you're building a building, just higher standards, which means your costs will be potentially higher to meet those standards. So that's where you're talking about money being taken out of the economy to a certain degree.
Yeah, and so what it's doing is it's slowing – it's first of all, if you are an investor looking at investing in British Columbia, it makes it much more difficult to get a return on your investment. And so investors are saying, we'll invest somewhere else. If you are building – if you're a home builder and you're going to build condominiums, townhomes, single-family homes, the cost of those homes is more expensive. So who pays for that? The first-time home buyer, the person whose family's expanding and they want to buy a larger home. All of this goes into contributing to the affordability crisis. So rather than looking at ways to make construction take lower construction costs, make housing more affordable, this Clean BC initiative is actually ratcheting up the pressure on the cost of homes. It's making it, it is compounding the affordability crisis.
What do you say to those who say, look, we're in an era, we have to deal with climate change. We have to make hard transitions. And those transitions are difficult at times for the economy, for businesses. But we have to make this change simply because it does require leadership. And there is a price of climate leadership. How do you respond to that? That we have to, as economy, as the Western world, make some of these changes. We've done things the wrong way for many years, that we have to make some changes. And this is part of that. It's not perfect. The transition is not going to be perfect. But this is part of that transition, that we have to bring in these rules, regulations, changes to make sure habits change and we build better in regards to efficiency. What do you say to that argument?
Well, listen, we need a sensible climate plan. We need something with balance and perspective. This is not that. This is irresponsible. This is reckless. And it's hurting British Columbians. And it's doing it in a way that most British Columbians don't realize, because a lot of this is invisible. You don't see it every day. And it's hard to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And that's why Jock Finlayson and Ken Peacock have done such a great job of putting it all together in one document and say, okay, here is the impact of all of this. And when you look at it and you measure the effect, remember what the Premier said. The Premier said, we've got a historic challenge with the Trump tariffs, and we've got a, the government in this last legislative session went on a historic reach for power by passing Bill 7, Bill 14, Bill 15, all, according to the Premier, in response to the Trump tariffs. His own Clean BC policy is going to have 2.5 times the effect of any tariff war on our economy. Mm-hmm. So this is nonsensical. It's hurting our economy. It's already hurting our economy. It's very, very it makes it very difficult to invest in British Columbia, and that's why you're seeing our standard of living is declining. Paychecks are flatlining. We're feeling the affordability crunch. Remember, Clean BC, all of these policies were launched in 2018. That was a very different time. We've had a rapid expansion of government. We've got historic deficits. We have a crisis of confidence in our economy. And this is just adding to that, compounding all of that. Mm-hmm. We've got to head in a different direction. We've got to become more competitive. We've got to attract investment. We've got to get rid of red tape and regulations. We've got to lower costs to invest, lower costs for business, but lower costs for families who are dealing with affordability across the board in their everyday lives. And this is making it worse. The government doesn't want to talk about it. That's why we released the report today.
Yes, it's Chris Gardner, president of the Independent Contractors and Business Association. Mr. Gardner's organization has put a new report today that shows that the Clean BC plan here in British Columbia, our own environmental plan, will strip more than $109 billion from the provincial economy by 2029. They estimate that's more than double any damage that any Trump-era tariffs would inflict on British Columbia, and that is undermining growth and investments and competitiveness, and that could be anywhere from, which was once the carbon tax, which is now gone, but it's also EV mandates, zero emission buildings. And almost every ministry is touched to a certain degree in government in regards to this Clean BC. It's not just one ministry, but the cumulative effect of wanting to go green as quickly as possible is also impacting affordability stifling investment as well, according to this report. Would love to hear from you, your thoughts on this. 604-280-9898, *9898 on your cell phone. Let's go to Bob in New Westminster. Hi, Bob.
Howdy.
Hi, go ahead.
I was just wondering, I didn't hear any specifics on what the additional costs were, where these costs are coming from. I just heard kind of a lot of general, seemingly extreme right-wing comments about that you hear from the right wing about the costs of trying to do something about the environmental emergency, which is what Clean BC is for.
So
I've taken advantage of some grants.
Yeah.
I drive an EV. I converted my house to my 110-year-old house to heat pump. It's all electricity. It makes no carbon. I used some grants from Clean BC for both the car and my house.
Okay.
And yeah, it's going to cost the economy a little bit, hopefully, but this pie in the sky number, I was waiting for some details.
All right. Well, let me ask Chris about those details. I get your point. I get your point, Bob. I think we got your point, and good on you with the heat pump, Chris. We've talked a little bit about, you sort of did bring up the issue, which is of course zero emission buildings. We've talked about an EV mandate. Those are two specifics. Are there any others you can give us, maybe sector by sector?
Well, I think what Bob needs to understand is that these aren't our numbers. We didn't come up with these numbers. These are numbers and an economic model developed by the Ministry of Finance.
These are the provincial government's own numbers.
That's
period.
Right. Yeah. So nobody's sort of dreamed up these numbers. But the challenge is 25 very complicated policies. So everything from the carbon tax, people remember the carbon tax, the consumer-facing side of the carbon tax has been removed, the industrial side remains in place. The environmental standards to make buildings zero emission by 2030 are adding costs to construction. And depending on the unit, that can be anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 per unit. Who's paying for that? The first-time home buyer is paying for that. Mm-hmm. So every time we have a new rule, a new regulation, someone's paying for that. In this case, it is struggling families, taxpayers, and workers who are paying for that. Not everyone can do what Bob's done and go out and buy a new heat pump and retrofit their home. Retrofitting a home can be very expensive and very complicated. So the issue here is we need balance. We need to look at how are we going to be able to address climate change challenges, but not at the same time make the cost so punishing to average families and hurt our economy.
No one's denying climate change either. I think we all have to respond to it, and I think that's the right thing to do. But it's the hidden fees, it's the red tape. All of those things have a cumulative effect on investment, and that is what I think Mr. Gardner and his organization are saying. But I appreciate the call. Let's go to Ryan in Vancouver. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Jazz. Quick points. First of all, pox on everyone's house here. The tech, not tax. The trouble with that is tech is expensive. So I think people should have. Now, we were not supposed to need these regulations if we had a carbon tax. So a pox on the NDP for trying to do both. But a pox on people like yourselves who are complaining about the carbon tax and saying we want tech, not tax. Well, there's a bill to pay for that. I think, though, at the end of the day, we emit about five times less per capita than Alberta. And we have a great bargaining chip, which is the pipeline access to Tidewater, to get them to clean up their own act. So let's be strategic about it, maybe drop some of these regulations that don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But carbon tax would have is supposed to sort a lot of these things out, and you do what's cost effective.
Yeah, Ryan, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. But I think they lost the public somewhere along the way, and it's gone. And if, when the NDP gets rid of the tax, you know they were in trouble. Let's go to Frank in Vancouver. Hi, Frank.
Hey, how you doing, Jazz?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
I remember having this conversation with friends 5-10 years ago, and we all agree, you know, there is no environmental, you know, emergency. All these, you know, environmental zealots, it's like they're going to destroy our economy, and now we're seeing exactly that happening. I mean, really, Canada should be the richest country. We should be so rich, the government should be mailing every citizen checks because they have too much money. But it's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, Frank, you know what's going on. I appreciate your call, Frank. I would have to disagree with you on the fact that I think there is a climate issue, and I think we do need to deal with it, and scientists are telling us it's a climate issue. The question is, what does a jurisdiction with 5 million people do, and how do we respond, and do our policies help the globe dealing with this issue? Yes, we in the Western world have burned a lot of fossil fuels the last 200 years to build the lifestyles that we have. And it is hypocritical for us to be telling China and India not to follow our model that we've done so. At the same time, I think Mr. Gardner raises a very good point that you can't stifle innovation. You don't want to jeopardize your standard of living to the point where we, you know, add cost that stifles innovation, that stifles competitiveness, and undermines growth, and that's the challenge. You got about a minute left, Chris. I'm going to give you the final word here.
Well, listen, we've run out of money. The government is about to report a record deficit. It's probably going to be close to $15 billion.
It was 12, but you're right. Yeah, carbon tax dollars, and probably real estate's not doing well either.
That's
so
right.
I think we're closer to 15.
So we've run out of money. Yeah. We can see our healthcare system is collapsing underneath us. Kelowna General Hospital, like what's happening up there?
Yeah.
What's happening at Surrey Memorial Hospital? So what we're doing is not working. We have an abundance of natural gas. We should be using that. Last year, we imported 25% of all the electricity we use in this province, and we imported it from Alberta and the United States, and that was generated by natural gas-powered plants. Well, we build them here.
Chris Gardner, thank you so much.